Essex is a county known for many things: heavy industry, urban sprawl. The only way is Essex, and of course David Essex. And it has some of the remotest wilderness areas of England, the salt marshes along the Essex coast. Scientists have studied salt marshes for decades, but this week, one of the biggest ever investigations is underway, involving academics from 10 universities. What's so special about salt marshes? Andrew Bomford reports.
Lovely sucking sound of mud there as I crawl my way across one of these little creeks.
If you've retained a boyish appreciation of mud, this is the place to come. Out on the marsh at Fingringhoe Wick, I find two scientists on their knees staring into a shallow pool of brackish water and mud.
So this is a small salt marsh pool.
It looks pretty unpromising to my untrained eye.
It does, but then look closely. You see there.
This is David Patterson from the University of St Andrews in Scotland, and his colleague Martin Solon from the University of Southampton.
So that's a mud snail, which is a small snail called Hydrobia, and that's made by something larger. The organism itself isn't there, but it's probably a polychaete worm. It looks like a big enough trail.
And if you kind of dig in, I'm going to squelch in here, and you can kind of peel the sediment back, you'll start to see a very black sediment underneath.
Where I see mud, they see a natural city of algae, snails, shrimp, worms, feeding the fish and the birds.
Even this tiny little pool is very diverse and very productive. And what we're trying to do is measure what this does, what that does, and what all of the components of the salt marsh do together to bring out the functionality of the whole system.
David's in charge of this four-year, £3 million study funded by the Natural Environment Research Council.
Well, I think we're standing in one of the most threatened regions of the country. And the East Coast, Essex, is an area where the threat from increasing sea level rise, but also increasing storm frequency as the patterns of climate change. Part of our work here is to understand, in a sense, how important this is and hopefully convince people that this is worth protecting.
The salt marsh performs many important functions. It's a haven for wildlife, as David says, and the marsh filters and recycles the organic waste which we produce. It protects the coastline, is a great recreational resource for people, and also acts like a forest, storing carbon, its plants absorbing CO2 and releasing oxygen.
Hello.
And out on the marsh, I find scientists using bell jars to measure the CO2 the plants are absorbing or releasing.
It started at 413 parts per million, it's now down to 410.
It's called contact coring, which is we take a core like one of these.
He's using liquid nitrogen at minus 196 degrees to freeze the mud for later analysis.
And there go, and that's it actually boiling.
Find a team from Bangor in North Wales using an inverted leaf blower to suck insects out of the grass.
Yeah, we found quite a few sort of active hunting spiders running around, and a few of the little money spiders that you'll find in your house as well.
Hilary Ford's collecting the spiders. And one of the most impressive sights at this time of year are the Brent geese, in their thousands. There are accounts from the 19th century talk of the air here being black with Brent geese. They overwinter here before flying back to the Arctic in the spring.
Hello.
You must be Andrew.
Yes.
Graham Underwood is from the University of Essex, so this is his patch, and he loves it.
Well, Essex has such a bad label, and yet it's one of the most... I mean, what are you, 50, 40 miles from London, and you're in a wilderness.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a wilderness.
It is wilderness, isn't it?
And that's, I mean, here you've got square miles of effectively natural habitat, as natural as you get in the UK, and yet you're right close to that conurbation of London. I mean, it's amazing, really. It's a hidden treasure.
It's a fantastically silent place. Apart from the gunshots there, from someone shooting pheasants.
hear the wind in the bulrushes, the birds in the air, and today, the distant sound of scientific conversation from the huddles of academics dotted out across this marsh, their voices carrying on the breeze.
Andrew Bomford reporting.